design may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Love Line.
All right.
Hey, I like that.
It is Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew, and that's, I guess, our new opening. Good. Not a bunch of static.
Kind of miss the South Park, guys.
All right. What's going on? Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight we have some of the members of Method of Mayhem. That is T-Lo and Tommy Lee. This is... I know there's tons. I mean, I'm just looking at this thing, and actually we know a lot of these people that are on the Methods of Mayhem CD. You got Scott and Ken from Crystal Method.
Yeah.
We love those guys because they look like truck drivers. never. Ken, especially. Ken doesn't look like some kind of mix master. He looks like like he works at a U-Haul in Fresno.
And I'll yet to walk up to that guy and know who the hell he is.
Yeah, he's been on, they've been on the show 8 times, and Drew never knows who they are because they don't look like we're out here. Snoop Dogg, you'd recognize him, Drew.
Yeah, in the puff of smoke.
Kid Rock, George Clinton. He is the king of funk.
If
you
smell,
did you spend much time in a small closed area with George Clinton?
Yes, we have.
The funk king.
The whole clique. They got three tour buses of funk.
George is wearing like a couple of raccoons on his head. Remember George? Were you in here when George Clinton? He's got the funk.
He put like meat oil on his skin.
He is the funk. Fred Durst, of course, from Limp Bizkit, and the list, Little King. Kim, who we had on the TV, I think, last year, a trip, and she really is.
Yeah.
The list goes on and on. So Tommy, explain how this whole thing got started and how many guys are in it and how many people are making cameos and what are you going to do when you tour and how's all that work?
Okay, 42 questions. Where do we start? A quick sort of synopsis is Tim and I... we got together. He was in a band called Head PE.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him when his band when his band opened up for Motley.
Right.
Just on this last on the Generation Swine tour, and I saw him, and he was like the background guy, and I just thought we got to know each other. I saw him, and I was like, man, if that guy gets a microphone and a spotlight, he's going to be a big star.
He's just blow up the spiz knot, you know?
Yeah. He's cool. And we got together just briefly after the tour was over. I said, we got to get together and just write a song.
So this is like 2.5, 3 years ago now?
What is 2 years ago we met, but we've only done Methods of Mayhem for under a year now.
Yeah,
so it's about a year.
When you asked to write the song.
Yeah, we got together and wrote.
That was how long ago?
That was
a year ago.
Yeah, I had we wrote a song. It came out amazing, and then I went and got myself into some trouble and spent some time in jail. We stayed in touch, and as soon as I got out, I'd made a decision to move on to phase two of my musical career. I was really unhappy creatively.
I mean, just doing the rock and roll thing?
Just doing the same old thing, playing the same songs. I just couldn't... that unhappiness was spilling into my personal life. It was spilling into all other aspects of my life. And it was time to make a move.
All right, so now you got T-Lo, and you got you, and you got a song or two at this point.
Yeah.
A year ago.
Yeah.
But then how do you enlist everyone else?
Okay, This was cool because,
we didn't enlist anybody. Everybody was just all...
Everybody came...
First, we did this homegirl, Ashley. She hooked us up with U-God. U-God came into town from Wu-Tang Clan. He's like, man, I want to meet Tommy Lee. So she called up. She goes, hey, do you mind if U-God comes by? I'm like,
bring him by.
For real, you know what I mean? So he came by, and he just heard some of the tunes, and he was just blown away. He's like, I can't believe you guys are mixing these styles together. It's coming out so lovely. It's not, like, generic at all. So, he's like, I was like, man, what kind of music do you listen to? He's like, nobody.
So,
man, he's a heavy cat.
So the word sort of got out, and people just started coming by?
Yeah, word got out, and all of a sudden we got a call from Snoop. We were talking on the phone. Next thing I know, it's like, all right, Tim, we're out of here. We're going to Atlanta. And we did a song for Snoop's Outsiders project, and Snoop did one with us.
Right.
And then Kid Rock and Freddie Durst were just like, out partying one night, and they called us at about 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the morning. What are you guys doing? And we're like, we're working on music. Oh, we're coming by. They came by, and all of a sudden, this Methods of Mayhem project, which initially I never intended it to be, you know, where what it's become. You know, this has all been out of love, and people coming by and collaborating. I mean, I sit back now, and I'm like, dude, I can't believe we did this.
So, is this turning into a sort of like a late 90s Steely Dan, or no. Is it like the Traveling Wilburys with weed and tattoos? Or,
no.
I mean, is it like an all-star studio band?
No.
What happens when you tour?
Yeah, no, we got the bands together. Steve Perkins from Jane's Addiction,
right?
Drummer, is going to be playing drums as well with me. Because
you guys got your own set, or you have to share?
No, we're gonna have two drum kits.
All right.
Because there's times where I play guitar, and Tim and I are doing a lot of the vocals. So you know, something new for me. We got Stephen Perkins, Chris Cheney has played bass on the record and is going to tour with us. He finishes up with Alanis Morissette on December 7th or something.
And I'm guessing some of the people who contributed to the album, depending on what city you were in and where they were,
so
when you were in that
surprise,
city,
yeah,
may make an appearance,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, Mixmaster Mike from the Beastie Boys, he's going to DJ the large shows.
So this thing is coming out December 7th, correct?
Yes.
Good. All right, let's take some phone calls. You guys know how it works, I guess. Sean?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Yeah.
What's up?
Oh, nothing. I've called before, actually.
All right.
I was the guy that called about a week or two ago. With
oh, him. Yeah.
He'd been raped.
Who?
The girlfriend that had been raped.
Yeah.
I've got bad news, too. You told me not to have sex with her.
I did?
Yeah.
Oh, because you're going to get her pregnant?
Yeah, but she's not pregnant, though. The condom didn't break.
Right.
But,
This was she getting real aggressive with you sexually? Was it that one?
No. Yeah, kind of. A little bit. I'm not sure. I'm kind of drunk right now, but...
Okay. Hold on. You got no, yeah, kind of, sort of, and I'm not sure. All in the same answer for the same question.
Sorry.
All right, so what's your question, John, please?
Is it possible for her to grow a second hymen because she bled when we have sex?
No, but it's possible for women to bleed, be stimulated to bleed by having sex, even if they're not about to have their period.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, John?
So she bled when we have sex, does that mean she was like...
Doesn't mean anything.
Really?
Doesn't mean anything.
You wearing a condom, John?
Yep.
You sure?
I'm positive.
You have the morning after pill ready?
Yeah, we weren't drunk when we had sex. We got drunk after.
Okay. Well, it's important to celebrate.
Do you have the morning after pill ready to go?
Well, I told her to go in the morning if she thought she had to. But we wore a condom and all.
All right, John.
All right. God bless you.
Good John.
Good boy.
You in college you in high school?
Yeah.
You got health class?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had a sex education.
No kidding with the grow the second hymen question.
That's all right.
That's all right. Okay. All right, but I never thought you could grow a second anything. People don't grow
a second penis.
I did?
Yeah.
It turned out to be a wart, though.
Oh, okay.
I gave it a few months. I just need any excuse to tell the ladies. No. It's second penis. Don't touch it. What do you mean freeze it off? That's my second penis.
Yikes.
Also, there's something for them to hope for.
That's right. This thing may surpass the first one in a couple of short weeks. Mandy?
Yes.
You're 24.
Yes.
What's up?
I had sex off right, and he came inside me, and it started hurting my ovaries, my lower stomach.
Yeah, your pelvis. Okay. You have pelvic pain.
Yeah, it's real sharp pains.
Did you go see a doctor?
This happened twice before. It didn't hurt this bad, but it hurt a little bit. So I'm wondering what's happening.
Why didn't you go see a doctor?
Well, what is it, Drew? You're a doctor. Why don't you tell her what
that is? It could be pelvic inflammatory disease.
Because I need to call Loveline.
It could be pelvic inflammatory disease, among other things. It could be a bad infection in your tubes, and those things need to be treated quickly, or your fertility can be forever impaired.
Do you have kids, Mandy?
Yeah, I have one, but he's adopted.
All right. Do you, you want to, have you tried to have kids?
Huh?
Have you tried to have kids?
Have I tried? No.
It's strange that you've adopted a child but haven't...
No, I gave my child up for adoption.
Oh, he's been adopted.
Yeah.
Okay, Andy, you deserve a medal. We've changed our...
Sort of, yeah.
No, come on.
No, you do. More people should give their kids up for adoption.
Well, more...
Drew, give one of your kids up for adoption. When is he going to give you that medal?
He got three. Why not?
All right, I got plenty.
All right.
There are a couple here and there.
Mandy, you should get a medal for giving your child up for adoption.
For making a choice on behalf of the child.
Not the way you explain giving your kids up for adoption. I have one. He's adopted.
But you got to see a doctor. This could be a serious infection. There are many other reasons for this, including things like endometriosis, ovarian cysts, lots of things.
Yeah.
Even appendicitis.
There you have it. Leroy?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You're on with T-Lo and Tommy Lee from Methods of Mayhem.
Oh, that sounds really cool. I never heard any of this stuff, but it sounds really cool with all
We're going to hear some of this stuff, actually, in the next 5 minutes or so.
Cool.
Right. What's up?
Not too much. I just haven't gotten an erection in like 6 months.
You're 14?
Yeah.
Hmm. That is the equivalent to you not getting an erection for 3.5 years. Do you realize that as an adult?
In adult years.
Yeah, I mean, when you're 14, you have an erection in 6 months. Really, it's like 4 or 5 years as an adult.
So it pretty much sucks.
Well, now, were you having them regularly before?
Yeah.
Do you have any medical problems?
No.
You're not diabetic or anything like that?
Well, he's suicidal. Is that a medical problem?
You don't wake up with them in the morning?
I used to, not anymore.
Hmm. And you're not on medication?
No.
Yeah, have you masturbated?
I've tried, just...
Nothing?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
And, hey, were you taking care of business
before?
Before this?
Have you ever masturbated? Oh, yes, I just...
Well, there you go.
Oh, man. Interesting. When you start to try to get the questions, you know, they fall apart.
It wasn't bad.
He'd
I was interested.
Yeah, he was beginning to unravel a little bit.
All right. Angela?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
Is there any way you guys can come back to me in like a couple minutes?
Yeah. Mom's
I'm
in the room?
Cold.
You're what?
I'm really cold. I need to go get some blankets.
Where are you?
I'm just cold. Can you guys just come back to me a little bit?
All right. Are you camping or something?
No.
All right. I swear to God, I was such a pathetic son of a bitch when I was younger. I didn't own a sleeping bag when I was like 19 or 20. I still hate my parents for this. Because don't you guys think it's your parents' job to buy you a sleeping bag, like at some point? Then maybe, like, you don't buy a sleeping bag for yourself until you're at least 25, maybe 30.
Yeah.
Other than that, you should be able to go to your parents to get a sleeping bag. My parents never bought me a sleeping bag, so when we went camping, I brought a blanket from my bed. And we go up to the top of, like, Mount Pinos and just spread that blanket out. And it was about 4 in the morning.
Kidding.
I thought I was going to die with the weather like it is. I woke up at like 4 a.m. and I was like, I am dying. And I said to my buddy, I said to the Wheeze, who was in one of those mummy bags where I could only see his nose sticking out. I like flicked his nose. Hey, Wheeze.
What?
You got to let me in the bag with you. No effing way. John, I'm not kidding. I'm going to die. I don't care. You can't get in this bag.
What happened? You sit in the car to hear?
The next guy was Carl. Yeah. Carl. And just his nose sticking out of that mummy bag. I wanted to kill him. There's nothing worse than freezing when people are warm. Like,
yeah.
I don't mind freezing when everyone else is freezing. But for guys that are toasty when you're freezing is painful, man.
Yeah.
It makes you colder.
They're unempathic, too. They don't get it.
No, they're like, hey, I'm hot in here. I just farted. Wait a minute. It's 10 degrees warmer than it was in here 10 seconds ago. I'm like, Carl, dude, let me into that bag with you. No. I'm going to die out here on this mountain. Sorry. So I remember hearing this story of, like, when you're freezing out in the wilderness, you should take the rocks from the fire that night that are still hot and make a bed. You know all that stuff they tell you to do, all that survival BS?
Yeah.
What they don't tell you is most of it involves, like, a backhoe and a couple of day labors and, you know, 3 days of preparation. You know, in the movies, they show the guy, like, you know, he takes a hack with a machete, and then they cut to the scene where he has the whole raft lashed together and everything, and the bed and the lean-to. They don't work that way at 4 in the morning when it's real windy and you're freezing your ass off and you're drunk earlier. You know, you're like, you don't know where you are. And so I took these rocks and I spread them out, but the rocks that I could handle were cold, and the ones I couldn't handle were too hot, you know, from the fire. And I ended up lying on top of the fire with my blanket. And I, part of the blanket caught on fire. I smelled like one of those sausage links the following morning.
Oh,
you know, they smelled like I was smoked, you know.
Oh, my God.
Miserable. Miserable, man. Shouldn't I be able to sue my parents for that?
I think so.
And then I took the same blanket and put it back on my bed when I got home. I mean, that was my blanket. It smelled like a hickory blanket, like a Hickory Farms blanket.
And Carl and Don, you should get some out of them, too.
I know. But you know what? I think I would have done the same thing if I were them. Wouldn't you have? Who would have let some big guy? I was wearing boots and a vest, and I was wearing as much stuff as I could get on. You know, I had like tube socks on my hands and stuff. There's no way I could have gotten a sleeping bag with him, could I?
Yeah.
A mummy bag? I would have had to get in him to get in him with it. All right. Oh, man. I'm such an idiot going camping.
Your
bringing
parents
a blind
damage.
Yeah, yeah, I should sue him. Mark?
What's up?
You're 24. What's up?
All right, great show, guys. Love your show, by the way. All right, I was with one girl for about 3 years, and her orgasm seemed to be, you know, very similar to mine. You know, just one, you peak, and after it, you kind of out cold kind of thing. But you guys have been, you know, not you guys, you know, I've heard about this multiple orgasm stuff, and I really don't understand how it works. I mean, do you have an orgasm with the same intensity, and then you can just keep having one if you just keep being stimulated? Or?
You can't.
Okay, one woman.
Men can't, and some women can, but most can't.
Okay, now what's...
It's probably a little less intense, and the lack of refractoriness.
Well, but isn't it, you know, women, it's hard to separate. Some of them have those, like, cluster orgasms, you know?
Right.
Like a cluster bomb, you know. It's like one shell, but a bunch of little explosions going off, and
right.
It's all sort of connected to the same main shell. But
is it possible to just keep going and going and going?
Some can go for quite a while, but that's a biological state. You know what I mean? That's something they're born with.
So are they less intense? For them, they're just as enjoyable as anything.
I'm sure they're just enjoyable, but they're probably a little different.
Yeah.
What you got is fine. Whatever you got is fine.
Yeah. I don't have anything right now.
I know, but what your girlfriend got is fine.
No, his girlfriend doesn't have anything.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I'm just talking about it in general.
Yeah.
All right.
I like when guys sort of hypothetically planning their orgasm schedule for down the road. I'm going
to
get me one of them multi-orgasmic broads, you know?
Women are like
for my next
project
one.
For men, right?
I feel pretty good.
So women are like a science project for men.
Guys in
just
general.
Just young men, young guys, like adolescent males.
Well, don't you guys think that guys sort of take a methodical approach to almost everything? I mean, almost a mechanical approach. Like, if I'm going to be with a woman, I want a multi-orgasmic woman, so that'd be kind of cool to have. Just like you're buying a truck or something.
Yeah,
you want the lift kit.
Yeah, but
they're
even a little more pragmatic. It's like, what can I do to make it that?
Yeah.
How can I soup it up a little bit?
Just like if I bought the stock truck, I'd want to go have the captain's chairs put in the thing and a killer stereo, so where could I take it?
Bigger wheels.
Right. So guys approach women that way, and so when they find one that's not, you know, performing the way they like to perform, they just think, well, all right, I'll just get the manual, figure it out here, maybe put some headers on it or something, drop in a hot cam, and see what happens. Squeeze a little more performance out of her. Yeah, this is kind of frustrating when they don't cooperate. they should all act like cars. All right. Why don't we play? Can we do this?
Yeah.
Are you
going to
get mad?
No,
Anderson?
Let's do it.
Let's play Methods of Mayhem CD.
Get Naked, huh?
All right. Oh, yeah.
Get Naked.
You queued up there?
Let's play K-Rock?
It's appropriate for the show.
Yeah. Doris, there are producer replacing Ann right now, was telling me that the video is pretty wild.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nudity.
Everyone's
a lot of famous people out of clothes on.
All right, well, hold on. Let's hear the song, then we'll talk about the nudity. Rocking my polar cape for hours and hours. We're gonna run Jericho.
Doing the doggy style. Wow, 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 you can go, you can go, wow, wow, you can go, you can go. Wow, 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 you can go, you can go, wow, wow, you can go, you can go. The little bitch, I hope I'm lucky, I hope this is your love. I'm not a lonely man, I'm in a little mouth, so really don't know. I'm trying to buy with the clothes. Creep up some hoes, blow up the shows. Make a little dough, and if you didn't know, back to the strip club, freaking out to the hoes. Bring up my thing, I'm waiting, man, you know, baby.
Tommy Lee are both here from Methods of Mayhem. We are going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little about that video and take your calls after this.
Cool.
Love Line. Love Line. Love Line. We'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
Zone 105 is the Twin Cities Concert Pipeline.
From the San Francisco Underground to the top of the charts, the most incredible live band in the world, Third Eye Blind has set the creative standard. Now, Theater Live presents Third Eye Blind, March 16th at the Orpheum Theater, the Dragons and Astronauts Theater Tour. Featuring your favorite songs from their quadruple platinum debut album, plus the magic and fury of the new album, Blue. One night with Third Eye Blind.
That's the way.
Coming March 16th, live on stage at the Orpheum Theater with special guest, Sonic. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon at Ticketmaster locations, including Dayton, Mervis, Rainbow Foods, and the State Orpheum box office. Charge at 989-5151. Third Eye Blind, live in concert, a Jam production.
Ah, Valentine's Day, romance in bloom, the color red, chocolate-covered cherries, a time for lovers, a time for friends.
Talk to the crotch, lover boy! Because around here, Valentine's Day is sex world day. I mean, let's be real, huh, guys? Dinner's nice, roses are fine, but nothing tells a girl what she really wants like a trip to sex world. Think about it. Aisle after aisle of videos, magazines, lingerie, adult toys. Hello! It's like the whole friggin' world of sex crashing down on the both of you, screaming, do it, baby! You know what I'm talking about, because it kinda rocks. It's Sex World on the corner of 2nd Avenue South in Washington and downtown Minneapolis. You know what I mean, guys. Sex World. Ooh, and now featuring live girls 24 hours a day. Oh, I'm there.
Remember last Valentine's Day? How you sort of forgot, landed in the doghouse for a couple of days, and then seemed to have suddenly lost the love of your life.
Oh, honey, thanks for the homemade card. Looks like you made it at work on your computer. How sweet.
Well, we here at Zone 105 want to make sure that doesn't happen again. Zone 105 is your last resort Valentine's Day Cupid. We want to send you and your significant other on an alternative classic vacation. It's Cure Trip Number 2, a trip to see The Cure in L.A.
Hear the music.
I don't care about
to register, fax, email, or send Zone 105 a postcard with your three favorite Zone artists. Friday morning, Brian and Mary will draw a winner at random. The Cure in Los Angeles. From Northwest Airlines, serving over 500 destinations worldwide and alternative classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. T-Lo and Tommy Lee are both here tonight from Methods of Mayhem, which is the name of the CD as well. And that'll be
the band that will be blowing up the planet come December 7th.
That's right. So you should buy it on December 7th because if the planet has been destroyed by the 8th, you're not going to be able to
hear it around. You know, right. Might get bumped to the fourth dimension.
That's right.
You might get caught slipping.
You bring your Walkman with you if you're going to that fourth dimension. And don't use your Walkman to listen to the fifth dimension, though, right, Drew? That's one of your bands. Up and away with my beautiful balloon.
Adam and I went to a musical today.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Adam was going to hit the fourth dimension.
Yeah. I got some free tickets.
It's nice.
I don't want to get into it, Drew. Hold on a second. I want to talk about the nudity in this video first. I saw naked anyway. I saw the last 10 seconds of this video on MTV, I believe, the other night. And yeah. It looked like regular naked people running around. I was kind of excited by it. But I didn't see the whole video. So is everyone nude?
Yeah, everybody.
Who's except in it?
Everybody but Fred Durst.
What's he wearing? Well, listen, I don't need to see him. I've seen enough of his penis.
That's right, from Sexy Diggies with him. What's the question? Yeah, everybody is naked but Fred.
Right. And why isn't Fred naked?
I don't know. He just wouldn't get naked.
What's he wearing?
Clothes. The Fred Durst uniform, the baseball cap and his Dickies and a shirt.
See, to me that either means a small penis or zit on ass. That's what that translates is. Possibly both. So now, who all is naked then?
Everybody from like...
Well, I want names.
George Clinton.
George Clinton. Little Kim.
Hold on.
He's naked, dude.
Yeah. Oh, the funk really had to be going on.
Yeah. He's in a limo. And, he's naked. Little Kim's naked. She's riding a giant cock.
Little Kim.
A rooster. Yeah.
Certainly. What do you think it means? Yeah. There it is. Little Kim probably was naked when you shot the thing anyway, right?
Yeah, she showed up naked.
She probably took the least persuading, right?
Yeah.
Little Kim's naked. George Clinton's naked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man.
Mixmaster Mike's naked. Pamela's naked.
Great.
Her co-star Nat's naked.
Yeah. Nat, her co-star on
on
VIP. She's up there.
We just saw her yesterday. It was Friday, right?
We just had her on the TV. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's naked, too?
She's naked, too. She's up there dancing near Mixmaster Mike when Freddie comes down this ramp. She's up there doing her thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone's just totally naked.
Dude, you have to picture this for a minute. The back lot, Universal Studios. You know, the trams? Mm-hmm. With mom and dad and the family, you know, going by, right. And the guy's making his announcements. And over to the right, we have, dude, just we're doing like second unit shots out in the parking lot.
Right.
And these people are driving by in the tram, and I just, it's the funniest sight, man. I'm looking over, and I'm seeing mom and dads dive for their kids, like, honey, no! Grab the kids! Because there's people out there barbecuing naked. People are walking back and forth to trailers. And, and these people are like, they're thinking they're going to see Back to the Future.
This is Hollywood.
Let me tell you.
And we're like, hey, what's up?
We're getting our barbecue on.
Natalie, Pam, that'd be cool. But if my thought one of my kids was going to see George Clinton naked, I would, and I had like some acid and I couldn't get to him, I'd just throw the acid at his head. So I could like take his eyes out. You may hate me now, son, but you'll thank me one day. They have special schools. You'll be all right.
Oh, man. And then there's just, you know, everybody, like, you know, skinny people, fat people.
Oh, our homies are there. You know,
newscasters.
All right, what's
Chris Conley's naked.
Chris Conley from the TV.
Let me ask you this. So you film the thing, and you just film everyone naked, and then obviously they have to kind of tile out or blur out the private parts, right?
Yeah.
Now, somewhere there's the untiled version of this that's floating around.
Uh-huh.
Now, is that going to end up on the internet? Is somebody going to sue somebody? I mean,
I don't know. We have it, and it will.
You're not going to put it in a safe while you're doing construction over to your house, are you?
No, I'm not.
You sure?
You don't have it.
You shouldn't be trusted with it.
No, actually, you know.
Jesus Christ, it's a horrible idea. You hold Tommy. I'll hold on.
No. No, we have it. And
now.
We have it, and we're going to release it on the album when the CD comes out. It's an enhanced CD, and it's got a bunch of EPK footage, and the video is on there, and we're going to release a DVD that has some live 5.1 stuff and home video style stuff all compiled probably at the end of our touring cycle.
But what about...
That'll be the uncensored.
What about some of the naked people who went like, hey, I don't mind hanging out in front of you guys nude if you tile out the Johnson, but I don't want to be on the internet with the Johnson hanging out.
Yo, they
signed releases.
Oh,
everybody.
Man.
They signed the paper.
Oh, their agents must have went for sir. Hey, that's what I was doing this weekend.
There's a sign card.
Wow. All right. Let's see that.
Yeah.
Grady?
How's it going?
You're 15. What's up?
Hey, I was just curious. Is T-Lo Tim from Head TV?
Yes.
So I've been listening to Head for a while. You're not listening to the liner notes or anything. What's up with that?
Listen to what?
You're not listed on the liner notes.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm out of the box. You know what I'm saying? I was a speaker homeboy. They didn't hook me up no love like that. And that's, I don't know, man. That's why I had to bounce. And they told me I was more important as a roadie. So that's why, you know what I mean? It was just, I learned a lot in that band, and I just had to move on.
Oh, bigger and better things.
Yeah, I mean, now, I don't know. It's all lovely now. I can't complain. Smoking the fruits, rolling around in Mercedes, you know what I'm saying, Simp?
That's Drew's life, except for the last two things. The fruit and the Mercedes. Hey, Grady?
My life is Pimp, though.
Grady.
My life is
Pimp. What? Yeah, any more questions, Grady?
I was just going to say, I love the Mayhem stuff.
That's tight.
Right on, man.
Yeah, we're going to hear another Methods of Mayhem song coming up. So
right on.
Listen for that there, Grady.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Everybody, I love you.
Man up, homie. Peace out.
Folks named their... kid after Fred Sanford's best friend. Wasn't that Grady?
Yeah.
Wasn't
Grady?
Uncle.
Yo, I bought the box set.
Uncle. Yeah.
Got the gray beard.
Yeah, wasn't Grady? Who was Grady?
Oh, Grady's a man. Grady's a dirty homeboy that lived next door.
Yeah.
As he lived down the street.
Yeah.
Instead of speech pattern.
And he was always like, Red, what? And he was always doing
that. He had like that bluish gray kind of afro, you know.
Yeah, the blue beard,
yeah.
Too.
Abe Lincoln kind of effect. It was kind of titty tight.
I like Rollo. That was my man from Sanford and Son. He was like the dicey friend of
Son.
What is his son?
Oh, no.
All right, forget it. I'll figure it out. Scott?
Hey, what's up?
You're 18.
How you doing? Adam, I just want to say you're a champion.
Thank you. Thanks.
Man. I have a question about getting my penis pierced. This is for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know what, like, short-term and the long-term effects would be of that.
Like, short-term pain.
Right.
Intermediate term bleeding and infection, although it's remarkable how rare that is.
Right.
Long-term, what kind of piercing are you talking about?
Just on my penis. What kind?
There's all different kinds.
Just on the side, not like through the middle.
Not through the urethra or anything.
Right.
So the main thing is tearing and infection, that kind of thing.
How like risky is it?
Nobody studied it. The problem is there's no way to study this stuff. It's all still so underground.
What's the side one like? What do you do on the side?
Yeah, what's that
just
about?
Just like pull off a little flap of skin and go through.
You mean on the head of the penis?
You guys got me. I have no idea.
Who's gonna go for a consultation?
You got to do some homework before you go doing this.
Yo, man.
Yeah.
Since you don't even know what kind you want to do yet.
Scott, you got to bone up. You know what I'm saying on the piercings of the penis.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard. But, I needed to check it out.
Dog, I heard that, man, you're going to be hurting for like 3 months.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and they like quick recovery.
Now, last time you were in here,
yeah,
you were going to get something done.
Yeah, I didn't.
I talked him out of it. I was like, dog,
never.
3 months.
Pregnant?
No love. You get no love for 3 months.
Well, that was your way of keeping him sort of under control.
Yeah, I don't think I could go without having sex for 3 months. Metal or no metal.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's a grace period there.
Pamela was pregnant. Tommy was going to go on the road
and get a piercing.
Yeah, it was either that or it was Pamela would attach a 4,000-foot chain to Tommy's penis and put it on
a
tether.
A volt, a battery pack with a delivered voltage. Over like 4,000 volts.
Yeah. That could have the opposite effect. That you create like a Frankenpenis, you know what I mean? It's alive! Taking over the city. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. We have T-Law and Tommy Lee both here for Methods of Mayhem. And when we come back, we'll speak to Angela, who's 15, had a threesome a year ago. So
yeah.
Threesome at 14, everybody.
Oh, my God.
All bad.
That's all bad.
We'll be back.
All bad.
We'll get to that after this.
14. We'll be right back with more.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
Should I get the chicken or the beef?
I don't know. What'd you have last time?
Chicken.
Then get the beef.
Oh, but the chicken sounds so good.
Then get the chicken.
But the beef sounds good, too.
Then get the beef.
Okay. What are you getting?
I'm getting the beef.
Then I'll get the chicken.
I thought you wanted the beef.
Beef or chicken? Chicken or beef? Now you don't have to decide. Introducing the ultimate combo from Arby's. For the first time ever, you can get both of what you like. Arby's regular roast beef, our tender, juicy roasted beef you top with your choice of horsey sauce or Arby's sauce, and two crispy outside, tender inside chicken fingers made with whole strips of all white meat chicken breast, plus home-style fries and a soft drink.
That settles it. We're getting the ultimate combo.
What kind of sauce should I get?
Don't do this. Try the ultimate combo only at participating Arby's for a short time. Love food?
No argument here.
Think Arby's.
I'm Tom Shane, and for Valentine's Day this year, I had our designers create a ruby and diamond heart pendant with a really fresh style to it. We took two well-matched red rubies, set a diamond between them, and created a contemporary pendant for $125. Because the heart pendant with its 14-karat gold chain hangs on her neck, you don't have to worry about buying the wrong size. This pendant can be worn for dress as well as with casual attire. It's understated, yet really looks nice. For $125, the Shane Company's proud to be able to offer you this gift suggestion. It looks like it costs much more, but we were able to make it up at a great value with two shiny rubies and a diamond for this Valentine's Day.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company. In Minnetonka at 394 and Hopkins Crossroad, and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5.
Hi, it's Billy of Zone 105, and these are the Zone Files. The final attempts have taped the show for VH1's Hard Rock Live. The band will be performing some of their greatest hits, as well as music from their March 7th release, Freak Magnet. You can look for that episode, which includes The Cure, to air February 23rd. The set also includes their new single, Sleepwalking. The Zone Files for Megabit Services from US West and Alternative Classics, Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Hilo and Tommy Lee are our guests tonight for Methods of Mayhem. This CD's coming out December 7th.
Plug, plug, plug.
And lots of nice pre-buzz going on about this, which is good. And it's an all-star gathering. You got George Clinton, Fred Durst. You got the guys from what's the guys you can never Cannon. What's his name?
The Crystal Method.
The Crystal Method guys. the truck driving mixers. You got Lil' Kim. Who else you got? Kid Rock. I mean, the list. Snoop Dogg. The list just goes on and on. And I guess, is this something, there's more of this going on than there was, it seems, 20 years ago.
Definitely.
And I guess the music is sort of lending itself more to that. I mean, because, you know, when Motley Crue did a record, Motley Crue had to do a record.
Yeah.
You couldn't just have a bunch of guys from other bands stop by and start singing, right?
I guess you could, but it's just...
No one thought of it?
It just wasn't collaborative back then, you know, and I think that's what, you know, what hip hop brought to music was people getting together and just you know, doing it.
It's just these rock cliques. They only have like just their homie, like just their immediate band. Like they would only want to, like, they wouldn't hook
right
up. Like if you rock, I mean, hip hop bands, they got like the Cash Money Millionaires, then they got Lil Wayne, then they got Lil Troy, then they got the Juvenile, and then everybody, like, they have their own clique, and then everybody branches off, and then they build it, and they bring everybody in. There's no, like, I want to be the only star. It's like, everybody is like, they feel the bigger their clique is, the stronger, and the more people they can come together. That's why Snoop and, like, You God, and people want to come together with a Tommy Lee, because they're seeing him like a big, you know, a big idol, or, you know, somebody that's made a big impact in the rock world. And then being hip hop artists and being, you know, big impact that they've made, them coming together, it's like.
But is there any difference in the record companies and contractual obligations and stuff? Would 20 years ago or 10 years ago, would they not let people, like artists that were on their label, go off and do stuff on other people's projects?
Yeah.
You think there's something going on with that too?
I don't think so. I mean, I played on some other records when I was in crew. It just didn't seem like that was what people were doing. Everything was very almost competitive, and you know, I don't know. It's just I think music.
Yeah, you guys weren't going to lend a hand to those punks from Trickster.
Through them.
Yeah. No, I know, and there is. I mean, almost in a way, it's almost like a bunch of teams competing for the same trophy. At least it was 20 years ago. You had your rock acts, and you had your handful of them, and they were all sort of in competition to see who could sell the most records and fill the most stadiums.
And they're taking hip hop as a group, like whereas like they're becoming parts of music and parts of hip hop, and there's hip hop they're becoming stronger, all the way from like Mary J. Blige to your Juvenile.
Well, you know, the thing about hip hop is a lot of those guys, it seems to me, these guys come from down and out neighborhoods, and they got a whole bunch of people they got to put to work as soon as
I moved this fool out from Ohio, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So hey, my mom still lives in Section A homes, you know what I'm saying? It's all good.
You get a job, you got to put half your block to work now.
Got
to
do it.
Yeah.
You're doing that call,
keeping it real.
Yeah, that's your deal too, right?
I know, but I put them to work at my house.
Right.
I don't tell them to come do comedy with me. I have all my buddies from high school. You want to come up to my house and, you know, rake some leaves. Yeah.
Rake some leaves.
You think you
write them off?
You think you're kidding?
I'm keeping it real, brother.
Yeah.
Keeping it real. You're
getting your write-off on.
And I'm not kidding either. Half the guys went to high school. They're up at my house working.
You're all pissed off when they don't perform adequately. They're not jumping to it when you... Mr. Carolla speaks.
Yeah, they come up, they think they're cutting a record. So, no, buddy, you're cutting the lawn, brother. Tough cuts are like 35 now.
Somebody talks crap about them on the radio.
Oh man. Let's not piss him off. Come on. Angela?
It's going to be a mutiny. He's going to sound dead.
Angela, you're 15. What's up?
Really quickly, I have something to say to Tommy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, now.
Before I ask my question, I don't know if anybody's told you this before, but I think that you should know. You know, like a couple years ago when that thing happened with you and Pamela?
Yeah.
That video?
Uh-huh.
I would just like to say that Adam and Drew, out of everybody, announced that, like, everybody across the country, that they thought it was wrong, and, like, nobody should, like, view it because it was just personal, and they gave you a lot of respect, and they were really nice to you.
That's cool.
Thanks, Angela.
That's cool. That. That's cool.
You should be listening.
Far be it for me to blow my own horn here, but I have never seen that video. I'm a connoisseur of pornography.
In fact, somebody brought it in here, we both made a point of not going in. Remember that?
Yeah, well, it was easy for you. For me,
it was work. I know.
Tough.
You broke a sweat. He broke a sweat. It was tough.
I said, I think that's an intrusion. I don't think that's right.
It is.
I don't want to see it. I don't. I know those guys. I know what happened. And I'm not interested. I'm boycotting the whole thing.
That is so cool, man.
Yeah, it was. That's pretty good.
Thanks, you guys. Hey, up to the all bad threesome.
Thanks for bringing that up, by the way, Angela. Make me look good.
That's cool.
All right, so
what happened?
What's up with the threesome? Yeah.
Okay, like a year ago, a friend and I went to this party. She was 17, and there was this really hot guy there, and we ended up having a threesome. And now it's like a year later, and she's 18, and she's seeing this like 26-year-old guy. And this Friday, they want me to like have a threesome with them. But the thing is that like I like a couple months ago, or no, like a couple months after I did that the first time, like her and I messed around for a little bit by ourselves, and like it's like nothing that interests me really, I guess.
But what's the point, Angela? What can we do for you?
I'm getting to it. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, I didn't mean to be rude or snappy.
No, it's just yeah, just the story. I can already get the chaos and confusion and everything else. But
okay. Anyway, the point is that like, and if he said that if I won't have sex with him, then he like wants to watch me and her, and it's like I just don't know what to do because I don't know if I should or if.
And how old is he again?
26.
26?
You're 15.
Yeah.
Yeah, call the police.
Call the popo for Willie Dodo.
Well, Angela, you're not really that into her. You're just sort of into making people happy who are around you, right? I mean, you're into not saying no, but you're not into it.
I'm not really into it, but I don't know. It's just, like, confusing, I guess.
Yeah, because you're 15, that's why. What's up with you? Why are you so confused?
No, I don't have, like, a chaotic life. I mean, I'm, like...
Really? Yeah.
Well, right now you don't.
You're 14.
You had one earlier on, I'm sure.
Well...
What happened?
No, like, I'm totally, like, cool with everything. I mean, I'm just...
Well, what happened? What are you cool about?
I don't know. It's just... I just don't know what to do, I guess. I don't know.
Go get your groove on with a 26-year-old fool.
She's not going to answer.
Say that right now. You better watch some movies, girlfriend, because that shit's real.
He didn't quite say it.
I thought I got a little the S word in there.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Angela.
Yeah.
He's like a half swing.
Where's your dad?
He is sleeping.
All right. You like him?
Yeah.
All right. You do?
Wait a minute. Adam, you like your dad?
Yeah. Hey, no, seriously, Angela?
Yeah.
Do you like your dad? Has he been good to you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, Angela.
Okay, he has been good to you.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, really quickly, I just want to say thanks for waiting while I went and got those blankets.
Okay.
Oh, that was Angela.
All right. Hey, Angela?
Yeah.
Listen, you sound really screwy and confused and scared.
No, you really are.
Listen. Trust me. I talk to screwballs for a living. I know a screwed up voice when I hear it. You're 15. You're in a your threesome at 14. Take a rest. Okay?
So you don't think I
should? No.
It's negative star fighter.
It'll be one more thing you regretted that you did when you get older.
It makes you do more of this to avoid the pain and the shame of having done this.
Right. Well, listen, if you want to have a good time, fine. But if you don't want to do it and you're 15 and the guy's 26 and...
Man,
you know what I mean?
It's not just have a good time with a 26-year-old.
No, I'm not saying that.
That's being a victim.
Okay, Drew. We all agree. Listen, when Tommy says you shouldn't do it, you shouldn't do it. That's like Satan saying, hey, come on. Think about what you're doing, buddy.
Oh, 15.
Angelina?
Yeah, Angelina.
You're 22. What's up?
I've been seeing this guy for about 2 years, and he breaks up with me pretty frequently because of things that happened in the past.
Like what?
I was pretty harsh to him in the beginning, with just little things.
Like cheating?
No. I have a son, and I was with his dad for 7 years, mm-hmm. and we would talk on the phone a lot, and while the guy I was seeing for 2 years would come over, I'd be on the phone with the dad, and, you know, he was pretty violent, and I was in a violent relationship with him, so I'd have him be quiet because I didn't want to start any, you know, crap. So just stuff like that. He got real bitter. So recently I moved away and to go to school, and he got kicked out of his house, and he was supposed to come up here to visit. And
we're talking about the dad now or the boyfriend?
No, the boyfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, we don't trust the boyfriend either because the first guy you picked was violent.
Yeah.
Is the second guy violent?
No. No, he wasn't. He was towards the end. He's been kind of verbally, just not verbally mean, but just kind of weird and bitter and not wanting to.
Okay. So what's the question?
The question is that I moved to Minneapolis, and he was supposed to come up here a day before he was supposed to come up. He broke up with me and said he needed to be free.
Right.
And he does this every 2 weeks. And I know he's going to call again. And I just want to know what he's really doing. And when he does call, I mean, should I be angry or should I just...
No. This sounds just like more chaos to me.
Yeah, more abuse.
Is homeboy trying to move in with you and stuff?
No, that was the plan, but after a while he just said he didn't want to. Because
you should let homeboy just not want to. Let him just go on and go out there and try to survive on himself.
Hey,
not trying to hold on to
Angela, Angela, listen. You pick chaotic guys.
Okay.
This guy's chaotic, inconsistent. You got a kid. The kid needs consistency, right?
Enough drama.
Yeah.
Enough bringing up screwballs that are yo-yoing and verbally abusive and will be physically abusive at some point, too,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just focus on your kid. Focus on you. Go to school. Get your ass together. And take a little break.
There you go.
Take a little time out from the chaotic relationships.
Start break the phone call habit. Don't even take those phone calls.
Yeah.
Let it go.
It's all right. It's all right, moms. Focus on your kid for a couple years.
Yeah.
You're 22. You know, take a few classes, read a few books, focus on the kid, and then get back into it when you got your head together.
Yeah.
We will take ourselves a little break, and we'll be back after this.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Well, it's worth hearing.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
If you shop two or three jewelers at the mall, you've seen them all. And at the next mall, you'll find the same stores, the same ring designs all over again. I'm Doug Spence, and our stores in Roseville and Bloomington are completely different from any other jewelry stores you'll ever visit. At Spence Diamonds, our display cases are unlocked and open. Your fiancé can wander around trying on any of our thousands of engagement and wedding ring designs. Designs that are unique from what you'll see in the malls. And with no salesperson across the counter, you'll feel much more relaxed. When you do have questions, a Spence Diamond consultant is always available. Our open display concept allows both of you to freely discuss the merit of each ring you try on. Nobody is within earshot. Come visit Spence Diamonds in Roseville or Bloomington for a truly unique, hands-on diamond buying experience.
Minnesota's leading bridal diamond destination, Spence Diamonds. In Roseville on County B2 near Snelling, right across from Rosedale Center. And in Bloomington on Lindale, just south of the 494. Shop weeknights till 8, weekends till 5.
Dream Girls is looking for a few good men. Men 18 and older for a serious study on human sexuality. Applicants for this study must apply in person at Dream Girls and present a valid Minnesota ID. Those chosen to participate will be subjected to a wide variety of beautiful women. These women, in various stages of undress, are certified by Dream Girls to elicit a wide range of responses from participating subjects. Men applying at Dream Girls should be in overall good health and free from any heart conditions. Those bearing a ticket stub from any downtown event shall be admitted at no charge. Dream Girls reserves the right to continue weekly appearances by adult film stars. Those wishing to utilize the discreet rear entrance of Dream Girls shall be permitted to do so. For more information or directions to Dream Girls, call 33-DREAM. Make a difference. Choose to participate at Dream Girls. Open late, open now. Just west of Hennepin on 5th Street in downtown Minneapolis. Dream Girls, where your fantasy begins.
Should I get the chicken or the beef?
I don't know. What'd you have last time?
Chicken.
Then get the beef.
Oh, but the chicken sounds so good.
Then get the chicken.
But the beef sounds good, too.
Then get the beef.
Okay. What are you getting?
I'm getting the beef.
Then I'll get the chicken.
I thought you wanted the beef.
Beef or chicken? Chicken or beef? Now you don't have to decide. Introducing the ultimate combo from Arby's. For the first time ever, you can get both of what you like. Arby's regular roast beef, our tender, juicy roasted beef you top with your choice of horsey sauce or Arby's sauce, and two crispy outside, tender inside chicken fingers made with whole strips of all white meat chicken breast, plus home-style fries and a soft drink.
That settles it. We're getting the ultimate combo.
What kind of sauce should I get?
Don't do this.
Try the ultimate combo only at participating Arby's for a short time. Love food?
No argument here.
Think Arby's.
The Dow is up, the Dow is down. With the stock market in flux, you may be ready to move some of your assets to cash. Now might be a good time to cut your risk and go with a sure thing. High-yielding CDs and money market accounts from Telebank. Call Telebank at 1-888-926-5588. Their money market accounts have consistently yielded nearly double the national average, and the yields on their CDs consistently pay in the top 1% in the nation. And these high-yield accounts are FDIC insured. How do they do it? Telebank is the national bank designed for investors and savers. Because they do business by phone and internet rather than through costly branches, Telebank keeps their expenses low and passes their savings back to customers as consistently higher interest rates. So keep your money growing, even when the market is in flux, and get one of the highest yields on money market and CD accounts. Call Telebank for a free rate quote and information kit. 1-888-926-5588. That's Telebank. 1-888-926-5588.
Zone 105 with 20 years of alternative classics all on one station.
What are you talking about?
Plus, Zone 105 kicks off your workday with 105 minutes of commercial-free Zone music at 9 a.m., just after Brian Oak and Mary Lucia. Then, join Zone 105 for the flashback lunch at noon and the flashbacks at 5 for your ride home. 20 years of alternative classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. It is Loveline. We're going to take a quick 10-second timeout, and we'll be back with more of the show in just 10 seconds.
This is Loveline on Radio Station.
Zone 105, KZNR Lakeville, KZNT Cambridge, KZNZ Eden Prairie. This is Zone 105.
It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Tommy Lee and Tilo are both here from Methods of Mayhem. The CD will be released on December 7th, but you can hear another cut off it in about 10 or 15 minutes here on the fabulous Love Line. And we'll get to the phones. Christine?
Hi.
You're 21. What's up?
First of all, I have to say hi to you, Adam.
All right.
You are so funny.
Oh, thanks.
And I have to say hi to Tommy Lee.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
I'm great.
My problem is I've been married for 4 years, and in that 4 years, I haven't been able to be, like, turned on at all or have an orgasm.
How about before that four-year period?
Before
you were 17.
Before I was 17?
Yeah.
I hadn't had sex before I got married, so...
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So, one more argument for getting it on before you get married, everybody. So, do you suspect, you have nothing to compare this guy to?
No.
But do you suspect there's something up with him, or are you guys not compatible, or what's up?
I think it's me, really.
What's up with you?
I don't know. That's what I want to know.
Wow, you're pretty giddy for someone who doesn't like sex.
How old's your husband?
He is 37.
Oh, well, wait a minute.
And he married you when he was 33 and you were 17?
Yes.
And when did he meet you?
When I was 16.
And you were 16, he was 32?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Are you, like, on the run now from your parents?
No.
Were you at the time?
Probably a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Let me explain the part about being on the lam. You're either on the lam or off the lam. You're not near the lam or dragging next to the lam or pacing the lam. Either on or off. It's like, it's so true with fugitives and people that have left the house and stuff. It's like either you're in your house and you can be there or you're out of the house and you really can't be there. But there's never that sort of, well, I can just have a foot in. So what was going on at home that was so screwed up?
Well, my dad was kind of mentally abusive.
Uh-huh.
So, and maybe a little physically abusive.
Uh-huh. So you sort of just hooked up with the first life preserver that floated by, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's when women are not emotionally involved in a relationship, it is sometimes very difficult for them to function sexually.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't trust this guy.
They either have to be acting something out or
yeah.
They have to be involved one of the
yeah.
other.
Yeah, two choices. Either they got to be some crazy bitch who's just on some sort of bizarre sexual autopilot who's cast some sort of play and you become daddy or whatever, in which case, you know, it's the best sex of your life, you know, that kind of stripper stuff. Or they have to just really be together in love with you.
Yeah.
But that's pretty rare. But Christine, you're just sort of floating in between somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So what about this guy? I don't trust him. What kind of guy is he?
23-year-old picking up with a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
What kind of guy is he?
Where'd you guys meet?
He's my brother's best friend.
Oh, how old is your brother?
My brother is 37.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what's this guy do for a living?
He is a roofer.
Roofer. Oh,
that's all bad.
The drywallers make fun of roofers. Do you understand?
Do the tin knockers make fun of them?
Tin knockers and sheetrockers make fun of roofers.
No, even laborers.
Yeah, even in the El Salvadorian guys. You may not be able to understand them, but they're making fun of the roofers. Because you got to deal with that hot mop as a roofer. You know, that big kettle full of that
car
that's burning. And oh, man. Hey, Christine.
Uh-huh.
Right, do you have any kids?
Yes.
Oh,
wait a minute. Where do you live, Christine?
I live in Utah.
Maybe she knows about those pegs we were looking at on the roofs in Washington, D.C.
No, she doesn't know. How many kids do you have?
One.
Okay. And is this guy good to you? Do you love him?
Okay, say no more.
No.
Is he bad to you? Took too long.
Sometimes he is, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's very insulting.
Yeah. Listen, we know this guy's flawed because he's the same 32-year-old who picked you up when you were 16.
Yep.
And he's a roofer.
I mean, you're not even in your 30s yet, Christine. Imagine that now. Imagine a 21-year-old picking up a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
What does that look like to you now? What does that look like to you now?
Oh, I don't know. Probably the biggest mistake of my life.
No. Not your mistake particularly. But think about a 21-year-old peer of yours reaching down into early high school and picking up a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now add 10 years to that guy.
All right. So here's the question, and a lot of talk. Here's the question. What does someone like Christine do? Is this thing just a mess that was never should have been? Or do you just try to work it out? I mean, what do you do?
Idiot.
You got a kid? You know, this guy's not the kind of guy who's going to go to counseling.
Is he?
No. No.
Well, Christine takes care of herself, first of all. You know, she gets maybe support involved in whatever activities gratify him. She needs to build herself up.
But should she just get divorced and take the kid and sort of start a new life?
No, I would say get a supportive network of peers. Get involved in something. Are you involved in church or anything like that?
No.
Is that something that's important to you?
Not really.
Well, is any sort of activities or hobbies, anything like that you're into? Kids school?
No.
Are you just isolated?
Well, I've got depression.
You got depression. You're under care.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Do you have any support? Did they send you any groups for that?
No. I've been through counseling, but
how about some group therapies?
I've been through it, but not lately.
Well, why don't you get back involved? See, my thing is get her as much support as possible,
all right,
so she can grow and at least start to feel okay again and figure out what the hell she wants to do. I'm not going to make any decisions for her.
Speaking of counseling, you know, it's real windy outside.
Yeah.
A tree fell on my cable line.
Uh-oh.
6 TVs, no cable.
You got all your videos. You ever watch cable?
Yeah, I do. I'm going to have to go home with one of you tonight. Is that cool?
Tommy's got a massive TV.
Tommy, you got TV,
yeah,
right?
We got the dish going.
You got an extra room. I'm not going to rip anything off or anything.
No, I mean, it's all lovely. Come on by.
It's cool. I mean, you know, it's like I'll just leave in the morning. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
and honestly, you don't have to make breakfast or anything.
We get up early around there. The kids wake up pretty early, so.
Well, I sleep.
You've got to be out by like 6.
I'll just shut the door and kind of put like a towel in it, you know, so see, I don't hear you guys. I mean, you got a big place, right?
Uh huh.
Because I swear I can't live without cable. I, you know.
You got to get the DirecTV.
I got to make a move. I'll tell you something, because I am so pathetic that I have the, you know, I have the time when I watch TV. You know, certain times. Like, I don't watch TV all day, but then there are times when I watch it, and I have to watch it. And one of the times is at 12:30 when I come home from this show. But the other time is about an hour before I leave for this show, especially Sunday night. I turn on the TV. I realized the cable was out. It was 8:45 at night. I'm not exaggerating at all. 8:45 tonight, I realize the cable's out. I pace around for a little and think, what could I do? Then I think, oh, my God, I have to read. And then I start spazzing out. And then I say, you know what I'll do? I'll take a nap. And I took a 22-minute nap. I set my little egg timer, and I slept for 22 minutes because I didn't know how to cope with no cable.
With being alone by yourself.
I was pacing around.
Panicking.
I was getting a little sweaty, and I was thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I thought, that's it. I'll just nap. And I'll wake up, and magically maybe the cable will be working, and it wasn't, but I had to leave for work. So I don't know if I go with Tommy or I check in the hotel tonight or something. I do have videos. Maybe you're right.
I didn't know you ever got away from your videos. How's enough time in the day?
I save about 3 minutes at the end of the evening for the videos. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just pop a video in and pretend I'm watching TV.
You know the safe that you had?
Yeah.
He's got a walk-in vault that's just for videos.
It's all porno.
Really?
That's right. But unlike you, I had it cemented into my basement.
Yeah.
So
it's into the hillside, isn't it?
Drew, I don't want to get into the specifics of it.
Yeah,
you understand?
It'll show up missing.
That's right. Ryan?
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was just... Hey, before I say anything, can I see you had a Tony?
Yeah, what's up, man?
What's up, Tom?
I'm doing great.
How's the X, man?
What's that?
How's the X, man?
How's the X?
Yeah.
Are you talking about my wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're married to her?
You guys aren't ex anymore.
We're back together, and we're going to get remarried, I think, in February sometime. We're thinking about Valentine's Day or something. But, yeah, she's doing wonderful. My kids are great. It's all lovely.
That's good, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was weird because, you know, I went to Hollywood Squares today, and we were talking about, like, you know, how Adam went there.
You went to Hollywood Squares today?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoopi Goldberg gave me a T-shirt. It was the coolest thing.
She gives everyone a T-shirt.
Yeah, I know. And I was, okay, anyways, the problem, yeah. My girlfriend, she's pregnant.
Yeah.
She's been pregnant. She's like 6 months into the pregnancy. Yeah. I just don't know how to tell my parents, man.
Uh-huh.
She's how many months into the pregnancy?
6 months.
And what does her parents think about this?
Her parents, her parents know.
Yeah.
But her parents won't tell my parents. It's for me to tell. That's how they feel about it, that it's something that I need to tell them. But I don't know. My dad will flip.
Are you living at home?
What?
Are you living at home?
Yeah, I'm living at home.
When are you planning on telling them?
I don't know.
Maybe on the kid's 5th birthday?
Yeah, probably. No, I know I have to tell him.
You're right. You're going to raise this kid?
Yeah, of course.
And you're going to get married?
No, I'm only 7. Well, she's 16 years old.
Ryan, if you're going to be a dad, part of that is having a stable relationship with the mom.
Yeah. I love it. You know, it's so funny. Our listeners are like, hell yeah, I'm going to raise a kid. I'm going to take 2 jobs. I'm going to drop out of school. I'm going to make sure this kid has food in his mouth and clothes on his back. And I go, all right, you're going to get married? I'm not ready for that.
Yeah, I'm only 17.
I'm only 17. Come on.
Man.
Let's not do anything hasty. I got my future to think about. It's like, yeah, you got a kid, though.
Kid, and kids are so expensive, man. A lot of these young kids having kids, man. You guys don't even have a clue as to what these kids cost, man. It's expensive.
It is amazing, though, that they're... You can raise a kid like mm-hmm. Drew's raising a kid, like Tommy's raising a kid.
Tilo's raising a kid.
Tilo's raising a kid. But your kid's brand new, right?
fresh off the boat.
You don't have to sink a lot of money into them yet. I'm just saying, you start talking about preschools, you start talking about nannies and au pairs, you start talking about education and daycare and all this stuff, or you can go the economy route like my folks did, which is that drop in the pen, don't worry about, hey, that money we're going to spend on sleeping bags, let's smoke it. I mean, but we were all, I was raised on, like, it was like a, 50 cents a day or something. I mean, you don't have to. You should. Yeah. You can. And I know Drew and Tommy, you probably couldn't see raising them any other way.
Yeah.
But millions of people do it for nothing. You know what I mean? They live in a one-bedroom apartment with three of them, and they eat top ramen at night, and the aunt comes and looks after the kids instead of daycare. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And it seems to work out somehow. It's just you couldn't imagine how, could you?
No.
Each one of your kids costs you, what, $1,500 a day? Easily, right?
I got the piano lessons, the ice skating lessons. I mean, it's like serious.
Yeah.
And then the schools and all. Like, God.
Right. Yeah. I mean, my sister, I got a 2-year-old nephew. She's shopping around trying to get him into preschools. They won't accept the kid. You know,
the deal.
It's $1,000 a month. You know, it's 2 years old. And then there was us. Well, look at us. We're here.
Yeah.
We're on the radio.
Yeah. Hello.
Right now.
I'm sure
your kids aren't going to be on the radio.
Doesn't that kind of sum it up right there?
All right, idiot. Don't burst my bubble. No, but I mean, your kids will be, they'll be making $35,000 a year as some sort of a teacher's assistant somewhere, but they'll play the violin.
But they'll have a great appreciation for the human experience.
That's right, and what they don't have. You know, that's the other thing, too, is what you guys got to worry about. And maybe you too, Tilo, is the kids taking a step down. I was talking about this with Drew the other day when I was over at his house with his kids' party. Drew's got a nice pad. His kids are growing up with everything they need. You know, we grew up, maybe we didn't have everything we needed. Maybe we didn't live in a compound. Maybe there was no Malibu estate or anything.
Yeah.
So everything's up for us. I mean, just moving into an apartment and we're taking a nice step up.
Yeah, all over.
Just getting a car with some air conditioning and boom. Riding the crest of life. But your kids, and they ain't going to be hobos, but maybe they just make $40,000 a year, Maybe they work in some law office or something, And then they got to move out of the compound and get themselves a little apartment in Sherman Oaks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That doesn't bother the ones going down as much as the ones needing to go up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I think they just want to get away from all that and have some independence or something. But eventually it comes back to bother them a little.
All right.
But I'm just saying, that it's interesting. I don't want to spook you guys.
No.
But, your kids aren't going to make more than you're making. And they're probably not going to live in a bigger house and have a nicer car. I mean, it's not going to be, in terms of this lifestyle, travel, whatever, it's not going to be a more affluent lifestyle than what you guys are living.
Yeah.
I mean, don't be mad at yourselves.
No,
good.
No.
I'm just saying, all right.
Just have a kid, Adam. All
right. No.
Get it over. No. Well, then we can talk.
Sierra?
Yes.
You're 19.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I've been seeing this guy for about, I want to say, over 2 years. And I went out with some friends last night. And after the night was over, we went our separate ways and everything, and this guy and I, we just, hung out for a little while longer, and things got a bit hot and heavy between us, and we didn't sleep together or anything, but I feel really bad about it.
What'd you do?
Fooled around.
What kind of fooling around?
Tease each other,
Ooh, a little teasing? Any oral sex?
Very much teasing.
Not oral sex?
No.
It's talking about very much teasing, like intercourse.
No. No intercourse. No oral sex.
And some nudity?
No nudity.
Anybody have to wipe their hand off when they were done?
Yeah.
Did you guys play burglar victim?
Huh?
Burglar victim? Any burglar victim going on?
What does that mean?
A little
breaking in.
Breaking in. A little game of bite the pillow.
Did who had to wipe their hand? You or him?
He did.
He had to wipe his hand?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You're 19 here. For the two things. One is
it's natural for people your age to date other than a single person. It's actually healthy. It's also important to begin to look at your relationship and see whether or not these actions are a sign that this relationship is sort of winding down. One of the things Adam and I comment on frequently is that people in their sort of 17 to 20 age group really have difficulty assessing when a relationship is over. It's very hard to let go, or at least begin to accept those feelings as they wind down.
Yeah, you don't know when to call it quits. And there's this thing you have when you're young, whether it's your friends or your girlfriend or your boyfriend, whatever, you go, hey, man, we've known each other for 3 years, so that's worth something. I mean, it's like I got 2 years invested, whether it's a friendship or a relationship. You go, well, I know the guy, I know he got drunk and he tried to stab me, but we've been friends for 2.5 years, man. I mean, I can put all that behind us, you know, and you do it with relationships, too. But you get a little bit older and you kind of realize, hey, this one ain't working out. I'm moving on. Yeah. You get that skill when you get older. I think you got to have the experience of moving on a few times so that you know, see, whether it's a relationship or a job or whatever, you just don't get that skill of, hey, time to call this one quits and move on.
Yeah.
There'll be others.
It's similar skill to how you initiate relationships, too. That's one that's also difficult to...
Right. Yeah. But what you don't know when you're 15, 16, 17, you start a relationship, it goes on for 2 years, that's your only relationship. Yeah. You don't know that there's going to be other relationships.
Right.
So you've got to string this one out as long as you can, and most of them go on a year longer than they should.
Well, it's all that.
I think. Oh, 16, 17, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. On average. Yeah, there's still a spectrum on that, too. And we all add fantasy or sort of a projection onto our romantic relationships. You know what I mean? We never all accept the person for exactly who they are. We have to superimpose something on them for it to be a highly romanticized relationship.
All right, so...
And 17, that's all there is all that romantic.
Okay, so she's been with this guy for 2 years. She's screwing around after he leaves. Maybe she ain't as into him as she thinks.
And she ought to be a little less tough on herself. She's not.
Right. Okay. Screw around and don't think twice. I'm with Drew. We're going to hear another one from Methods of Mayhem, which is also the name of the CD. Come on, Anderson. We'll play it right now. We run a little late going out of break.
Come on.
This Tommy hasn't been here for 3 years. So let me drive his car last time he was here. All right. Thanks.
New Skin. He's all bummed out.
This one is called New Skin. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah.
Five times platinum.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Should I get the chicken or the beef?
I don't know. What'd you have last time?
Chicken.
Then get the beef.
Oh, but the chicken sounds so good.
Then get the chicken.
But the beef sounds good, too.
Then get the beef.
Okay. What are you getting?
I'm getting the beef.
Then I'll get the chicken.
I thought you wanted the beef.
Beef or chicken? Chicken or beef? Now you don't have to decide. Introducing the ultimate combo from Arby's. For the first time ever, you can get both of what you like. Arby's regular roast beef, our tender, juicy roasted beef you top with your choice of horsey sauce or Arby's sauce, and two crispy outside, tender inside chicken fingers made with whole strips of all white meat chicken breast, plus home-style fries and a soft drink.
That settles it. We're getting the ultimate combo.
What kind of sauce should I get?
Don't do this.
Try the ultimate combo only at participating Arby's for a short time. Love food?
No argument here.
Think Arby's.
One item of jewelry that a woman can never have too many of is gold bracelets. At the Shane Company, our bracelet department has several hundred unique styles to choose from. Starting around $100 and going up to several thousands, our gold bracelets are really special. You'll not find most of our styles in department stores or other jewelers. Our bracelets are durable, but still are delicately crafted. The clasps and safety features are secure, yet trouble-free. Whether you want 14-carat, 18-carat, or platinum, you'll feel how smooth our bracelets are finished to comfortably fit her wrist. When you make a special trip to the Shane Company for a gift of a gold bracelet, you'll be glad you did. You'll notice the difference in quality and styling. And so will she.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company. In Minnetonka at 394 and Hopkins Crossroad, and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5.
I'm Brian Oak.
And I'm John Cleese. Mornings on Zone 105. Tomorrow morning, we're going to give somebody a chance to see The Cure in Los Angeles.
Also, for the big end-of-the-week Friday morning broadcast, we talk to legendary comic Eric Idle of Monty Python.
Are you going to wear a cape tomorrow, Brian?
I'm not wearing a cape.
Are you going to scream in a woman's voice at him?
No, I don't think he wants that. I think we'll just have a nice, decent sort of interview.
So listen up, Renfesters. I'm scared, Brian. Actually, frankly, I'm scared. This one's your baby. You rock it.
Alternative classics. Zone 105. Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Tilo and Tommy Lee are both here from Methods of Mayhem. Eminem and... I like Tommy because he plays the air drums, man. He's
getting his groove on.
All these years.
Makes you feel like you could play as well as Tommy Lee, huh?
Well, I think, you know, it's just about the air. I think I could hang, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. I mean, I got pretty good air action, too. You know, my fatal flaw with the air instruments is I switch around. Like, during the guitar solo, I got the guitar.
Of course.
You know, and then it goes to the drum solo. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in the drum kit, and then here comes the organ, and I got the keyboards going, you know? It's like, wait a minute, you got to pick one air instrument. Yeah. You can't be hopping around.
One air.
Once in a while, I'll do one of those maneuvers, too, where I'll, like I'll take a towel, you know, like as if it's out of frame, and I'll fling it onto me, and I'll grab, wipe my face down, toss it, you know. Take a bottle, of, you know, slug off a bottle of Jack or something and throw it back down. I used to do some pretty wicked air guitar. I used to be able to do, like, the whole Boston album in air, you know, like, I'd go right to the organ solo.
All right. It's like a Wayne's World here tonight.
I wish you were there, man. I used to really jam air instrumentally.
Air.
Oh, this is John Popper. Oh, that's me, yeah. And Drew. I forgot about that. John Popper was in here a couple weeks ago. We jammed along with him.
That's you
bit.
Guys right there?
Yeah. As far as you know, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
As far as you know.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
More air.
Well, let me give you my feeling about the air for a second. I feel as if someone would slip an instrument in that I would start jamming,
yeah.
You know, but they would have to slide it in the middle of an air session.
And unplug it.
I couldn't just go pick it up and play it. They'd have to slide it in while I was jamming, you know? I really believe that. Lisa?
Yes?
You're 26.
I am.
What is up?
Okay, first of all, I want to say, hey, Tommy, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. I've, like, seen every concert in San Francisco you guys played at.
Oh, cool.
I mean, I've followed you as much as I can. Anyways.
Cool.
So,
Thank you.
Here's my situation, and I need your guys' opinion. I am 26, I'm 5'5", and I weigh 125 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I'm fairly thin, but I have, like, really big boobs.
Right.
Okay, nice. I know it doesn't sound like a problem, but I work out, and I am physically fit, and it's obvious, but my boobs are just, like, naturally sagging, and I don't know what to do.
Did they start doing this recently?
No.
Or is it always kind of the shape?
No, they've always been that way, and I don't know. It's probably genetic.
So you want to get a reduction, or you want to get a lift?
Well, I want to get a little bit of both, because I want my boobs just to kind of stick up, you know?
Why don't you wait till you have kids so you can see what happens after childbearing? Because there can be a lot of changes afterwards, a lot.
You know, a lot of people say that, but it's like, you know, I work out so hard and, you know, everything is totally defined, but then I just have, like, I think they're ugly boobs.
All right, well, all right.
But can you breastfeed after a breast reduction?
That's my question. I wanted to know, like, about the scars, and will I be able to breastfeed?
Tommy, jump in here, buddy.
Oh, yeah. You will be able to?
Yeah.
I will be able to.
Yeah.
Well, how am I mean, like, would the scars be really, like, unattractive?
Well, you are so perfectionistic, Lisa. I imagine anything other than sheer perfection is going to be unacceptable to you.
I've seen, like, some pictures, and they look horrendous.
Well, it's the big inverted T. That's what you're going to get.
You mean on the reduction?
Yeah.
But why don't you just have a few consultations with plastic surgeons and see what they have to say? Because I know,
say, hey, go for it. They want to get that cheddar.
They want to get that cheddar.
Yeah, right.
Who are we talking about getting the cheddar with?
Out of curiosity, what would turn off a guy more, the scars or the saggy boobs?
I'd say the saggy boobs would turn the guys off more.
Oh, I'd say the scars.
No,
I think it depends on the guy. Some guys are not going to be bothered by either.
Okay.
And some are going to be bothered by one or the other, but you can't say, I don't think you're really
more
better.
We're going to be bothered by the National Geographic boobs than
the guy's different. That's backwoods.
Guys are used to seeing a little scar down there these days. I mean, it's almost expected. Hey, Elisa, listen, though, we can't answer this. I mean, you have to go in and consult with some guys who do this for a living. You know what I'm saying? Do what I do. Go in there, look at their book, masturbate, and then leave. All right?
Oh, God.
That's what I do.
Oh, geez.
That's what I do during the day. I got this gig at night, but during the day I travel around from plastic surgeon to plastic surgeon, and I look at their book, and then I just ask if I can bring the book into the bathroom. Now, a lot of them have started putting chains on the book, so you can't, you know, like a bank pen.
Yeah.
You know, it's a chain right to the coffee table.
So what do you do?
I just drag the coffee table into the bathroom with me.
Oh, man.
I usually go for the before on the reduction book. I'm not interested in the after book. I like to see the before pictures.
I was in a plastic surgeon's office once, and I saw the most horrendous thing I've ever seen in my life. The guy goes, come on in, want to check this out? I'm like, yeah, sure, what's going on here? Oh, we're fixing it. There's some lady laying there, out.
Right.
You know, and her face peeled all the way back.
Oh,
like, her face was off.
Yeah.
Her face
was just peeled down. It was peeled down.
Yeah, her face was off, basically.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, oh, my, I don't want to see this. This is like, I can't believe that, you know, they put her face back on, and the next, you know, in a few hours she'll be, you know, tape bandaged up and out the door, probably. Yep.
Were they doing a facelift?
They were, you know, doing the eyebrows and the eyelids and everything. It looked, I mean, it was like Flesh Body Shop 101. It was just, I couldn't believe these. Her face was peeled off. I was just freaking out.
Bad.
Bad. Did not need to see that.
But that's, but the guy didn't. He didn't want to know if he wanted to have sex with her or anything.
No.
The guy had his face cut off.
Wow. Oh, did they do that? Is that a facelift? What is that, bro?
Oh my God. Up here needs to be done.
That ain't right to do to healthy people. All right, where the hell were we? What the hell name is that? Lee?
Uli or Yuli?
Oh, is that a U?
My name's Yuli.
Yuli. You're 22. Yeah. What's up?
Well, this question is really for both me and my wife. When we first got married, when we had sex, she'd have a harder time having an orgasm. And so we went and bought a clitoral stimulator.
What is that?
It's like it's a small vibrator, but it's like specifically for the clitoris.
Right.
And now she has no problem, you know, having orgasms or anything like that. But now the problem is that she can't have one without it. And it's like we find ourselves in situations where, you know, we'll be having sex and stuff, and then like there'll be other people in close proximity, I guess. And you know, I mean, you know, you just can't escape the hum of it, and so it's kind of embarrassing, I guess. And so we're kind of afraid that like she won't be able to have one in the future, or, you know, or a period without it. And like we're wondering what we could do about it, or if there's anything that could be done.
All right, so she was having orgasms before the clitoral stimulator. Oh. But no, but it was difficult.
Well,
essentially impossible.
Not at all, really.
Not at all.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So this is your only choice then.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm wondering. Is that it? Is she doomed to a life of you know, stimulators? You know, I mean,
it's so awful.
There could be worse things to be doomed to. So she has orgasms.
Yeah, I mean, and that's wonderful. I mean, and I mean,
right. I know what you're saying. I know you don't want to become dependent on a vibrator.
This is the male ego speaking.
Really?
No, absolutely not. I don't mind, you know. I mean,
to me though,
I'll go into the store with her and we'll have fun going shopping around or whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, she's brought this up before to me. Like,
let me give you guys my take on the vibrator. Anything? See, to me, it's just a mechanical device, electric device to make your job easier. No different than the washing machine or the sewing machine.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't care. Listen, if it's a choice between the old lady dragging the laundry down to the river and beating it on a rock, or going downstairs and dumping it in a machine, I'd rather dump it in a machine. I don't take offense to that. Makes it easier. She's less tired. You know what I mean? Makes my job easier. So to me, I got to get lockjaw performing oral sex, or, you know, have my head pinned somewhere for, you know, 4 hours or something, where I can pull out this little marvel of modern technology and give her an orgasm in 5 minutes, so be it. Just as long as I'm operating the thing, you know what I mean? I got to be, I'd like to keep it, as a matter of fact. That's what I would do. I'd take it to work with me. I'd just keep it. I'd be the keeper of it, because eventually she'd get hold of it, and then that'd be it. She'd have no more use for you. But it's working. It's working for her. Let's use it. And here's another thing I want to say to the people that manufacture these things. Come out with a quiet version of these things. These things are loud, especially when you pop the Duracells in there. Here's the mistake that people make. When you buy these things at the store, they come with these cheap Taiwanese, like, generic batteries that probably aren't good for much. Like, if you put them in a flashlight, it'd just be two strobes, and then it just fizzles, right? But they'll run one of these things for a couple hours. But what happens is these things wear out, so when you go to the market next week, you grab a couple of C-cells from a Duracell variety in the checkout, and then you pop the thing in, the thing goes flying out of your hand right up your ass. The thing rapes you. You can't get it. It's like that movie Trilogy of Terror. This little thing comes, it attacks you. So then you start turning the thing on, and the thing's loud as hell, and your hands, you've got carpal tunnel syndrome trying to hang on to the thing. You really, they need to come out with one that, you know, is a little more advanced. You know, instead of the $10 version, come out like a $40 version, one that's, you know, has a little insulation in it, it's quieted down a little. Yeah, I mean, the celebrity version. You pay a few extra bucks for this thing. I've always had this concept that they should make nicer versions of cheap stuff for people that have a few more bucks. Like, I've always dreamt of a real good, like, big wheel. You know those plastic big wheels kids drive around it, and the front wheel's always spinning out.
No traction.
The thing gets cracked, and it's no good. And it's like $45 at Toys R Us. I like to see like a $200 big wheel. It's like an inflatable rubber front tire and some ball bearings in there.
Suspension.
A little suspension. Yeah. Like, I'd be riding that big wheel. Like, I always thought they really ought to make a good big wheel. I'd buy it. There's got to be a market out there.
Ferrari big wheel.
The Ferraris are big wheels, but I think there should be a nice vibrator that ain't too loud, that has a nice speed control on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's made out of some kind of aircraft material or something.
Yeah, maybe it has a little, like, a little nightlight in it built in so you can see what's going on down there, because that's important.
Right, yeah. A little scope.
A little scope.
A little laser pointer.
Yeah.
You could really lock on to a target.
A little temperature control,
heat
hot,
sink.
Cold.
Heat sink.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, Drew?
Perfect.
Would the vagina would heat up, right? You know where the sensitive parts were.
Heat up. Oh, I see what you mean, like a sensor.
Really, like hone in, like a missile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That sounds like a
monster
model.
Monster blood flow.
Yeah. It, like a little readout, a little heart rate and stuff like that.
Yeah. Volume. Blood
Maybe put like a bottle opener on it or something in case you had a beer or something.
about,
a compass. How about a compass?
With, no, of course, Adam. Remote control built right in.
Remote. Universal remote
there
built right in.
Maybe a little, little 2 or 3 inch LCD display so you could see, maybe with a little TV camera.
See where you're going.
So Adam doesn't like anything off the screen.
When the dentist looks in your mouth, or the surgeon goes inside with the little camera,
right?
That'd be kind of fun.
You know where you were, and a snake bite kit worked in too. In case, I don't know why. You never know.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll Swiss Army vibrator. We'll take a little break, and we'll be back after this.
Let's have some more fun.
Okay, let's do it. Call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
What is Howard
Sample? This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Zone 105 is the Twin Cities Concert Pipeline.
From the San Francisco Underground to the top of the charts, the most incredible live band in the world, Third Eye Blind has set the creative standard. Now, Theater Live presents Third Eye Blind, March 16th at the Orpheum Theater, the Dragons and Astronauts Theater Tour. Featuring your favorite songs from their quadruple platinum debut album, plus the magic and fury of the new album, Blue. One night with Third Eye Blind.
That's the way.
March 16th, live on stage at the Orpheum Theater with special guest, Onyx. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon at Ticketmaster locations, including Dayton, Mervyn's, Rainbow Foods, and the Dayton Orpheum box office. Charge at 989-5151. Don't miss Third Eye Blind, live in concert, a jam production.
Thinking about buying jewelry? You can save up to 70% off retail prices at wholesale gold and diamond distributors. You can buy any size diamond in any shape you want and save up to 70% off retail. Marquee, round, princess, oval, or pear-shaped. Save on any diamond. You'll also save on any ring you pick, from solitaires to baguette designer rings. Save on your diamond and save on your ring. Then, put that extra money towards your honeymoon. For you guys, they do all styles of wedding bands. White gold, yellow gold, or platinum, the choice is yours. Want to buy a gold chain? Mother's ring, anniversary ring, charms, silver, tennis bracelets, no problem. They do all styles and save you money. Diamond earrings, you want just one, no problem. Call Wholesale Gold and Diamond today, 332-7117. That's 332-7117. When you call, you won't be talking to salespeople, but directly to the president. So call 332-7117.
Wholesale Gold and Diamond, all of your dreams can come true.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105. Hey, one of the tiki torches went out back here. The chicks are getting called. They sparked that up. Okay, buddy?
What about the crystal method and the blue-collar nature of those fellas.
Hilo and Tommy Lee are both here from Methods of Mayhem, and man, the CD sounds good.
Cool.
And there's tons of good stuff on it, and I can tell you're real happy with it, Tommy. And it's nice. It's like a rebirth for you, right?
Yeah, very much.
Because it's like, well, I mean, everyone knows about the crew, but like, what are the choices? Do you gotta go like warm over some old stuff and go back on the road, or you gotta get some new stuff going?
Yeah,
and it's working.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah, it's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it?
It feels so great, man. I mean, I you know, I had a blast with those guys, you know. I ain't nothing bad to say. Just like, you know, it was going on 20 years. I mean, I started with Motley when I was 17.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know.
Drew, when did you start with Blue Oyster Cult?
Yeah.
16 years old?
Yeah, I was 17 also.
17, right. So it's been 40
years. Yeah.
You guys are playing in Laughlin next week?
Laughlin.
Then the fair after that.
You're doing the fair. No, you got the midget sprint track. You'll be in the infield. It's Fox Night, I think. Fox is free, I think. But, yeah, 20 years of Motley Crue.
You know, and we did it huge, man. We, you know, 33 million records. You know, going on 20 years of that, you know, it's like, it's time to do something fresh.
You get to retire after 20 years in the regular job, right?
Yeah.
You know, pension well, plan, everything.
30 million anything, you should be able to retire. So, yeah, I mean, 30 million shower curtain rings, you should be able to retire at that point. All right. Monica.
Hi.
You're 30. What's up?
Yeah, I wanted to tell Tommy I love you. I love your new music.
Thanks.
And I missed you when I saw Motley Crue this summer.
Yeah.
And I want to know when you guys are going to be touring.
Well, I don't. When Methods of Mayhem, we're going to start touring in February. They're holding venues right now, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Salt Lake.
From Salt Lake, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, probably early February, March, something like that.
Right on.
Yeah,
you go buy some brother's album, you know what I'm saying?
Come check us out.
I will.
It's going to be crazy.
Hey, Monica, the CD's out December 7th, by the way.
Yeah, I'll buy it, and I wanted to let you guys know I haven't seen the video either.
Oh, right on.
Well, you'll see it. you gotta rotate something where people are naked, right? that video. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, wait a minute. People are naked in that, too. Hey, what's your excuse, Monica?
Well, I went on the internet, and my son was out watching a movie in the living room, and I got caught in this porno loop.
Yeah.
And I never got to the website.
I see.
And then he came back in the room.
Okay, but you tried. That's the point.
I tried, and I also wanted to know, a couple years back on the Motley Crue website, there were some nude photos of you.
Uh-huh.
Like sitting on a boat or something, and I went to show them to my friend. They weren't there anymore. And she wanted to know.
It's kind of hard to make Tommy's penis disappear, isn't it? What could have happened?
I don't know. It's down for recon.
Hiding one of the pyramids or something.
Holy
shit. Well, listen, I've heard. This didn't hurt your stock at all. All right. Well, Monica, listen, you can watch the video. And then, not that video, but the video to Naked.
One on MTV.
You can pretty much figure it out.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if one day they'll have... Ooh, here's my invention, everybody.
Uh-oh, watch out.
The D-Tyler.
Oh, the D-Mosaic.
The D-Mosaic.
Whatever.
The D...
That's silly...
You know what I'm saying?
Takes it off.
Yeah. You hook it up to your TV set.
That's tight.
That is solid.
Yeah, we need one of those.
You combine that with the unscrambler.
Unscrambler and the D-Tyler, whatever the hell that's called. The point is you sit home and you just watch E! Wild on the French Riviera all night with the penis in your hand and your D-Tyler activated. You're in good shape.
Beautiful. Or the kids walk in and you can
hit
the Tyler and it's all lovely.
That's right.
That's great. See, we got two great new inventions today.
We got the Swiss Army vibrator and the D-Tyler.
Yeah.
This is working, man.
I love it.
Tom?
Hello?
You're 18. What's up?
Yeah, me and my friend Jason are in Wintergard, and that's like a thing that mostly girls do, and we'll kind of
work. You're gay.
Oh, Drew, what is it?
It's, you know how during football games, like during the halftime show, the like girls that do the flags and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you go out there with those wooden guns and spin them around?
Yeah, it's like the winter version where, like, they go out, like, on a gym floor, and they perform to, like, a music.
Right. All right. So your friends are giving you some flack?
Yeah.
Because that gun is just a 2x4 that they cut out to look like a gun, right?
Yeah, and it's got a bunch of tape on it.
Yeah, they need to give you a real gun. That's
got a real gun to use, though.
With the bayonet.
People may make fun of you.
You hold on the fort.
Yeah. They make fun of you behind your back, but if they think you may bayonet them during the routine, they kind of keep quiet.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, Omo! They don't do that as much when there's live ammo.
It's amazing how people that age are so cruel to their peers.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah,
yeah, screw them, Tom. Just do it.
Yeah, no, I'd say too. Don't worry about them, man. You know what?
You were in band.
Yeah, well, I was in band, and you got called like the band fag all the time. But I never understood how that happened. I was like, man, I play the drums. How? I mean, it's like it's such a like physical
you
thing.
You played
like,
those tom tom, the boom boom boom.
Yeah,
blah, but halftime band.
But even before that, like freshman, sophomore. In my sophomore year is when I decided to quit because I got flack from a bunch of my friends too. I had taken tap dancing and ballet, and you know these were things that I was interested in was you know rhythmic and rhythm things, dance things.
You're gay.
You know what? Yeah, you know what? Definitely not gay, but I always thought I was cool because I was like, you know, rather than sitting here playing baseball with a bunch of guys, I'd much rather be dancing with these beautiful girls. But you know what? It eventually became so much peer pressure that I had quit, you know.
Right.
And unfortunately, I let that get to me
but
and bother me.
That is a good angle, which is instead of hanging out with a whole bunch of guys trying to impress
chicks,
just go to where the chicks are.
Exactly. That's where they all are. And they're barely wearing anything.
That's why I played for the women's softball team when I was in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played catcher, so I just sit there and look at ass all day long. You understand, bro? Yeah?
I think so.
Okay. A couple of lesbians beat the ass out of me, and I had to quit the squad. But other than that, it was a good plan. All right, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back.
Hey. You're about to get funky, yo.
Did it.
This Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
Oh, we'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Ask any paging company to explain their products and services, and you're likely to hear a complicated dissertation full of strange terms and techno double talk. And you know what? It really is just a lot of noise. At Arch Communications, we don't think you need to know the entire history of particle physics in order to choose a pager. So we keep things simple. The best coverage, the most helpful customer service, and all the latest models of fine quality Motorola pagers. If you want the bells and whistles, we have those too. Voicemail, custom greetings, and all the rest. And we'll tailor your service package precisely to your needs. Right now, when you sign up for service, we'll give you 3 months free airtime. Great deal. So visit Arch and check out those fine Motorola pagers in Eden Prairie on Valley View Road. Or call 612-996-0400. That's 996-0400. Arch Communications, a more personal paging company.
I know it makes me want to shout.
You shout like, I was at a restaurant with my mother when I spilled beet juice on my skirt. I was in shock thinking everyone would see it. Thank goodness my mother had a shout wipes in her purse. It cleaned it perfectly. People are always writing to complain, but I wanted to write to praise you. Signed, Pauletta Keller, Carthage, Missouri.
Don't go out without your shout. Shout wipes, the instant stain treater.
It feels strange that I actually am opening myself up to another human being this way.
We're pretty inspired by those bands, Nirvana and Pearl Jam. And
I am a complete nutcase by nature.
My personal life is none of your business.
Join Zone 105's Billy for the Zone Files. Billy goes behind the music and talks to and about your favorite Zone artists.
Hi, this is Billy from Zone 105, and these are the Zone Files. The Cardigans team up with Tom Jones to do a Talking Heads cover? Strange but true.
Plus, Billy reveals the latest Hollywood has to offer. The Zone Files, heard daily on alternative classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Zone 105.
Hey, what's up? This is Ken Jordan.
And this is Scott Kirkland, and we are the Crystal Method.
And you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Woo-hoo.
There they are.
Yeah.
Tommy threw the keys.
Boys.
Tommy took the keys out of his Testarossa, threw it to Ken, told him, gave him 20, told him to be careful with it. that's how they met. The Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
All right, that is it. T-Lo, Tommy Lee, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks for having us, you guys. Appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Methods of Mayhem. December 7th is the release of the CD. Also, you can check out Tommy's website at www.methodsofmayhem, which is one word, .com, and get whatever information you need. All right, so don't take such a long time off before you come in here again.
Yeah, yeah.
KZNR Lakeville, KZNT Cambridge, KZNT Eden Prairie. Alternative Classics, Zone 105.
Your song on the shroud.